Welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast brought to you by Tropes.
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 It's what's for dinner.
That you can't eat just one.
What is that? I can never... John Stewart comes up with the best things for Arby's. We should do that for something like Tropes or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Now you can... I'll have the number 6. It's a spicy trope sandwich and a medium shake.
But no, he'll say stuff like Arby's, the Hannity of fast food sandwiches or something like that. You know what I mean?
I wonder if they pay him.
No, they don't. I don't know. He even admits, like, I don't know why we do that. They're perfectly nice people.
Yeah.
He will say that. They sent us free sandwiches. It's really fucking hilarious.
Well, I do like Arby's sandwiches. You know what's kind of nasty, though, is if you've ever seen the roast beef that comes in before they slice it, it looks like a jello brain.
I don't even want to. No,
It looks nothing like anything. That has ever walked the earth.
Oh, God.
It's like if you could open a portal to another dimension, it would be like the plane of beef. Or you know how like in Dungeons & Dragons you have like the fire plane and there's like all the fire elementals and stuff and everything's fire, right? If you could open up to a plane of roast beef and this would be like a roast beef elemental, you know, just like a blob of roast beef from a plane where only roast beef exists. That's kind of what Arby's roast beef is like in its native form. I don't know what the hell it is. I think it's like extruded. It's liquid or something. It's like roast beef pudding and then it kind of congeals.
Is the stream up? Can you see it?
No. I don't know. What? Yeah, it's up. What is that? Right. What is it?
You didn't read the title screen that I had on?
No. Oh, God, it's some Star Trek stuff. Trade Federation. What the crap, dude? Is this the first Starfighter game?
It's Jedi Starfighter.
Oh, Jedi Starfighter.
Yeah.
On the Xbox?
No, this is the PS2 copy. I'm using an emulator.
Oh,
I ripped my copy of it to an ISO because I actually legally own this. It's actually in my drive right now.
I didn't know
and
they
I'm
even
using...
made Jedi Starfighter for the PS2. I knew it was on the Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox and PS2.
Oh.
And I was talking to Knack about this in the chat room, and Star Wars is like the cause of so much tropiness in space gaming that I figured it'd be funny to
Oh, absolutely.
If I could do this. But let's talk about Steam first. We're going to get to tropes, but you came back from Ohio the other day.
Yes, Ohio, where it's windy.
You were in Ohio.
Wow.
And
the wind on the highway was like 40 mile an hour crosswind gusts that would blow
that
me
in
the
that
next
in the
lane.
Huh?
Yeah, in the mountains.
Mountains.
But it was even like in the flat spots of Ohio, like on 77 headed south. Well, it's hills, right? But compared to the West Virginia mountains, it's flat. But in the mountains, you ever get like between two buildings and it becomes like a wind tunnel, right? Because it just kind of channels the wind in the alleyway. So that's kind of how these mountains are, because the wind hits and then it kind of funnels it in a particular direction. So what you end up with is a very concentrated, just a wall of wind where there's no wind and then there's a giant wall of 40 mile an hour sideways wind and then it's gone again, right? Because you just went past a gap in the mountains. And it's pretty shocking. The only way to survive that is to watch the wind, the leaves that are blowing. And if you see a little leaf tornado in front of the car, it's time to white knuckle the steering wheel because here it comes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dude, I'm so glad that I did that in the daytime instead of at night. Cause,
oh, that'd be terrifying.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, terrible. And you're watching for deer and all kind of everything. It's bad. I hate doing that drive. I do it once a year because I must. And other than that, no.
Is Jones' family up there, too? I forget.
Yeah, and that's basically it. Like, you know, my sister, she could come down here if she wants to see me. But with her dad, you know, it's like he's not in the greatest of shape. So it's like long car rides are not his thing anymore.
No, that's fair. That makes sense.
But anyway, the space.
So, yeah, you come back and you start bombarding my IM with Steam links because you found just I didn't even know this. I barely look at the new releases list on Steam or the coming upcoming soon list. I should.
Yeah.
But they're like eight. They're like what, four Spacey games that just dropped.
Oh god, a shitload of space. Okay, so here's the secret to my success. I go to Steam and I in the search I put in space.
Really?
Right? Oh yeah, totally. So here's what I get.
That works.
Yeah, man. Okay, so and then I sort by release date. So Space Salvager. You remember him?
That's just
he was on.
Yeah.
So he's out. And he has a demo too, both of which released today.
Oh, you know the poor guy. He released the demo in the real version. Like something happened with the EXE where it was misnamed or something.
Oh wow.
And like so people were complaining. It's like, oh, I feel so bad for you.
So a point and click adventure called Space Legends at the end of the universe.
That, I saw that. That looks kind of
ridiculous. but then again, we got Julia in space. That's also a point and click adventure. It's missed in space.
I thought that was a little more interactive. Yeah. I thought.
So then there's Kinetic Void, which is getting a lot of downvotes because they said
it's not done.
Well, that's the thing is they said, well, why is this even released now? Because
they have no money. They ran out of money.
So they're basically saying, okay, everybody that was waiting for it to be done, now's the time. Give us the money.
Yeah, pretty much. And the sad thing about that is Steam just changed their early access policies to say, hey, don't expect to make money off preparing to fund your entire early release off sales. You should have a better plan than that. And they're absolutely right.
So speaking of early access, Celestial Command, I've never heard of this. And I'm looking at it, and it really looks kind of good.
Yeah, it does.
I have no idea what's going on. I see, like, the ships apparently move in orbits because there's, like, a blue orbit line that's going there. And he's, like, bolting pieces onto the ship, and it looks kind of cool. The ship actually kind of looks like an FTL ship from above or something.
Right.
And there's a little bit of one of the screenshots has got some pew-pew-pew laser stuff going on. So that's interesting. It's $7.99. I might have to jump on that.
Yeah.
Fractured Space.
I haven't touched that.
Yeah, that just popped out. The problem here, it's $10, right?
Right.
Everybody that owned it was some other game. I forget what game it was. But
Strike Suit Zero.
Oh, Strike Suit. Okay.
These are the same folks.
So everybody got this thing for free for like, what, 24, 48 hours or something?
Yeah, something like that.
They should have gave it to everybody for like a week because 24-hour window is not enough to even notice that you had it. Right.
I agree.
So because I looked and I was like, oh, what the heck is this? And I'd never heard of it. And I went to the store page and I'm like, oh, I don't remember buying that. Okay. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I fired it up, though, and looked at it and it was like, oh.
You've gotten further than me.
Yeah. Well, oh, dude, it's play it. If you've still got it in your list for free, fire it up.
Oh, no, I got a key. I got a key.
You so bastard. Why don't you tell people two keys? It's a two key minimum here.
They did. I didn't even ask. They just sent me one. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. So it is fun.
Is it a MOBA?
It's like it's sort of League of Legends in capital ships, but it's not like that other one that I can't remember the name.
Stellar something, Impact.
Stellar Impact, yeah. It's not that. And
oh,
it's
good.
Not
that
like,
was such a horrible game.
And then there's another one, too, where instead of being third person behind the ship, because Stellar Impact, was that the one where it was more like Battleship in space?
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's another one as well that is kind of like War Thunder in space. Mm.
Oh. Factory Wingmen?
No, not that. Well, I mean, that one might be too. But I can't remember what the other one was. It came out, and it was like team versus team. And,
oh, Star Conflict.
Yeah, Star Conflict. Right.
Apparently that sucked for a while, and then it's gotten better, apparently.
Yeah, and I haven't been in it in the like way better phase, but I was in it when it was getting better. And it was like, okay, it wasn't my thing. But Fractured Space... Right. is like that kind of game, but it's more my thing, right? So it actually has a little bit of the feel of like combat from EVE Online,
oh,
a little bit.
Yay! I love that.
Yeah, and that's why it's kind of cool.
I'm kidding. I'm so fucking kidding. I can't stand the combat in EVE Online.
But you actually fly the ship here. Okay.
Oh,
And you aim
really?
the guns. Yeah, so you
Well, that's
lock onto
better.
a guy, and it takes. You know what? Did you ever play World of Tanks?
No.
Okay. Well, it plays a lot like World of Tanks because you can spin the view around. It takes time for the turrets to catch up. So you can
Yeah.
spin the view around and lock onto a guy, and then the turrets will come around, and then you can fire at
Okay.
him. And then the ships have, like missile racks and, different lasers and stuff, right? And whenever you
Okay.
start into a game, you pick which type of ship you're going to play. So I picked like a little frigate, but they have like super battleships and crap in there too. I'm sure there's going to be some points distribution once it gets out of alpha, where it's you're going to have to probably earn bigger ships or something. I can't see like coming in there and just being like, yeah, give me the super battleship. Sweet, I'm a noob. But I had fun just cruising around in a destroyer. And but it's like multiple jump gates that you go through. There was like
Right.
three of them on the map that I was on. So there was like a neutral in the middle, and then a jump on either end that was the enemy base, right? Your base and their base. And basically,
Okay.
you had to get in there and dock close enough to a space station. And it's like capture the f or not capture the flag, capture and hold, where it's like you get close enough to their flag and it starts turning your color, and they have to come eject you before you capture that area. So it's kind of like taking their space stations, and and then there's like neutral crap in the middle. So it's interesting. I hope it
Are
does
you
well.
around them? Oh, sorry.
Well, the problem with it is going to be how many people are playing it. And that's the thing that I've heard about God Factory Wingmen and such, is that it's like, well, when the game came out, there's like 20 people, right? And then if it hits the Steam sale, which is happening day after tomorrow,
No, it's happening tomorrow,
oh,
if I
tomorrow? Oh, okay.
think
Well,
so.
I don't
As
know.
we record this, we're recording on the what, the 24th, I think this is?
Yeah.
Twenty
No,
fifth. So yeah,
25th. I thought it
I
was the
believe it
27th,
starts.
but okay. Well, one day, one way or the other, the
Yeah,
wallet will
soon.
certainly
Very
work.
soon. It's very
So
soon.
I think I actually own everything that I want. So
I'm pretty there too, unless something goes on a real deep discount.
yeah. So basically, this game, it might be like when the Steam sale happens, if they put a deep discount on it, it might get a player base. But I think honestly, they should put this thing in like trial mode for free for a month, and just let people play it. And because it's going to be word of mouth, like, hey man, you got to come play this thing or whatever. And just let people get into it and then charge for it or something. But I'm glad that it's not freemium, right? Like, oh, it's free, then you have to buy your ships. Oh, no. So that's okay. Amplitude has put out the Endless Pack, which is $80.
I saw that. Oh my God.
Yeah,
Sorry,
but
I just
that's
had a
endless
cat.
everything, right? So it's endless. And you know what? The upgrades to Endless Space are endless because they just put another one out. It's gonna be tomorrow, I think,
Well,
is when
that
you get
had the
it.
fun. I'm sorry, I
Yeah,
couldn't.
well, dude, it's not a terrible game. And they learned. Dude, have you played Endless Legend?
Dude, I love and here's the fucking thing. I love Endless Legend and I love Dungeon of the Endless a lot. I love both of those games, but I don't know if I can bring myself to try. I don't know if I can bring myself to try. There's a cat in my lap. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, Harry.
Well,
Anyway,
but
I don't.
it's like Endless Space. What they need to do is take the stuff that they've learned from Endless Legend and just go back patch it a little bit, right? Like I don't see that there's a lot of money to be made in it now because it's everybody who wanted it has it, so
Pretty much,
fine.
yeah.
But if they're gonna continue to patch this thing anyway, there's some stuff that they could put in there that wouldn't
Oh, not
fundamentally.
disagreeing with you at all.
Yeah. So there was that. Okay, so Ensign One, that
Yeah,
came
and
out
you know what?
November 13th.
I bought that on Desura like 3 years ago, and it was super early. So I played it, and I'm like, "There's not much here. I don't really know where this is going." So I shelved it because I'm like, "I don't know where this is going."
Yeah.
And so I just played it. Oh, there he goes. Damn cat. Hi. I played it, and it looks interesting. It's a Wing Commander-esque thingy with what looks like a branching campaign path. I don't know if it's dynamic, but it looks more story
Oh, that's
based.
neat. And
But
it's got some
the path.
FPS stuff too. You get out of the ship and actually run
Oh,
around.
does? Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To me, the screenshots, whenever he's like sitting in the cockpit looking around, looks like
Yeah.
Evercron to me.
Oh.
You know, and
Yeah, I
the,
can
watching
kind of
the
see that.
actual gameplay, it definitely ain't Evercron. So,
No,
and I
it's
mean that in
definitely
a good
more in
way
the
because, you know,
Yeah, it's
ever.
definitely more in the Wing Commander
Yeah.
vein.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I just played that for 2 minutes.
But yeah, the videos that they have on the site of it, if you just watch the first trailer, in fact, it has a guy, he's got like some kind of laser cannon and he's running around in the hallways of a ship. There's also
Yeah.
turret sequences apparently, because I'm seeing some of that. And there's stuff where you fly descent style, like fly your ship through tunnels.
Oh, that's pretty great.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Oh.
That's a maybe. You can't wish list it when it's in early access though.
Yes, you can wish list
Oh
shit in
wait, I'm
early
not signed
access.
in. That's why. I think
I was about to
it
say,
is on my wish list.
I have
So
shitloads of shit in early access
yeah,
wish listed.
Christmas is coming. Look at my wish
I
list.
know. Well, Thanksgiving is coming.
Oh yes, there's that.
Gabe wants your money, people, and he's gonna have it.
That's right.
He is
'Cause
gonna have it.
let's see what else happened here. Space Hulk Ascension is out.
I heard that's actually good.
It is. It is. Yeah, the one thing that's missing, there's no multiplayer. Zero multiplayer.
What?
Yeah, it's a single player campaign only. If you want to play multiplayer, play the original.
What?
Yeah. But then
That's
again,
just.
have you played Space Hulk with a
I
person?
played the original back in the 90s. I played that one.
Okay, so you've never actually played the board game with somebody.
No, just the computer game that came out in like the mid to late 90s,
Right, so that was
or the early to mid 90s.
so you didn't get the PC one either that came out before this one, the one that was out like last year.
No, apparently the reviews for that were so middling and
Yeah, it was pretty
poor.
middling at the beginning, and what they did, they tightened it up and they sped up the animations and they fixed some UI stuff and that, and then it became the game that they promised. The problem is, it was the game that they promised, right? So, Space Hulk is an excellent beer and pretzels, have fun with your buddies kind of game where it doesn't take a lot of thought and it's kind of random mechanics of the dice and you know, roll the dice and adventure happens, right? Because it, like if you roll snake eyes, your gun jams, right? Stuff like that. When your gun jams, then that guy dies, and maybe the guy behind him dies, and maybe the guy behind him dies, right? Because the gene
Right.
stealers, if the gene stealer player is rolling right, you get a gun jam and it's just like getting hit by a bowling ball. It just comes right through your guys. So it's not necessarily the most fair game that's ever been. And for the gene stealer player, there's really, what can you do, right? You just spend the whole game like charging into boulder fire and hoping that the guy jams. That's really, you know, you can do some stuff, right? Like you have a blip, and in the board game, you don't know how many gene stealers are on that blip. You don't, and the other player doesn't either. So it's fun when you get there. You know, it's like, how many do? Oh, flip it over. Oh, damn, I got like five guys, right? So and yeah, so it's a very random game. There's not a lot of tactical whatever to it. It's just a game that you both watch happen, kind of. But I mean, the Marine player
Fun.
has to be good, or he's not going to make it. But you know, I mean, it's kind of an XCOM in a hallway board game that's very unfair. So, but the game that they made last year was exactly that game with the same dice mechanics and everything, and that's why people were like, ah, this isn't really as awesome, you know, because we just get killed by random shit. It's like, yeah, that's exactly how the board game is. So anyway, this time around, they put some story in it, and they made the UI even better. And it's kind of like an RPG. So you can level up your dudes, like mission to mission, and they learn new skills, and you can get equipment for them, and you know, stuff like that. So it's cool. And
Okay.
I was enjoying it. It's like $30 now. It was 20 the day it came out, 22 or something. So I grabbed it right then. And they were not very clear that there's no multiplayer. So I just want to be very clear about that. There's no multiplayer.
Well, that's weird. I mean, isn't it's a board it's a multiplayer like board game, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
Supposedly.
but the thing is, if you would put the multiplayer in, it kind of kills it. Really, the thing that they did with this one, because it's so much of an ongoing campaign, the board game
Right.
aspect of it would kind of kill it if you had to have two players. Now, what I could see happen is multiplayer co-op. That would be very interesting. And just let the computer play the damn Gene Stealers, because they're just a mindless Zerg rush anyway. There's not a lot of thought that goes into that. It's just like charge down the hall and hope you don't die. But yeah, if you had two groups of Terminators and you have two players control them, that would be cool. You could work and support each other and, you know, whatever. But yeah, they just didn't do it. Maybe it'll get patched in. I don't know. So there's another tomorrow. The other Warhammer 40K game is coming out from Slytherin.
Oh, Armageddon.
Yeah, Armageddon. Now that it's built on their Panzer Commander. Is it Panzer Commander? Because there's Panzer General, which is the old game, and then they have Panzer something, Panzer Commander.
Panzer Corps.
Panzer Corps. Yeah. So that's the new guy, and it's kind of a Panzer General light sort of thing. And I was reading the rule book, right? Because you can go on Steam and download the rules and read it. So they don't have a lot of terrain stuff that's going on. There's no elevation stuff. You know, it's just the things that you would think would be important. And it's like, you know, you'll have a tank on the map. You know, it's like, here's a tank, and it actually represents 10 tanks. And it's got a little number 10 under it. So as they die, then that becomes like 987. Whatever, so it's not really displaying all the units that you have with the size that they are, but it's got like Titans and stuff out there. It's basically like Epic scale 40K, where you actually had the Titans on the table, and then the guys were like little 3 millimeter tall figures on a base. You'd have like 10 guys on a base. It was like five actually. Five dudes on a little 1-inch square base, right? And it was basically the vehicular combat version of 40K on a very tiny scale. We sold it at the hobby shop that I used to hang out all the time back in the 90s. I never saw anybody play it. A lot of people bought it, but I never got to see anybody play it. I think, however, what would be an excellent engine to do a 40K game in is their Battle Academy engine. That would be fabulous.
Isn't that latest game of theirs in the Battle Academy engine?
Well, Hell is in Battle Academy. That was from Murdered Cow or whoever those guys are. Hell's not bad. It doesn't have any kind of a like complicated strategy campaign or anything. It's just 10 scenarios as the good guys, 10 scenarios as the bad guys. But it's not a bad game. And then the Pike and Shot is the other war game that just came out in the Battle Academy engine. And then, of course, there's Battle Academy 1 and 2 and some other stuff, I think, uses it. But it's basically a safe bet. If it comes out in the Battle Academy engine, it's going to be on the iPad within a couple months because it's a straight port. They've already got the engine over there. So there's that. But I would like to see a 40K game done in that, because it's really, really the engine for it. Mm. You could do just anything you want to do in that engine.
I played so many of those old SSI 40K games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I like. God, what was the one? It came out. It was Windows 98, and then it wouldn't run in XP. It was
Chaos Gate?
Yeah, Chaos Gate. Damn, I loved that game.
That was the best one, I think.
Well, that's the game that they could make in the Battle Academy engine. They could totally make Chaos Gate again. I loved that game.
Yeah, that was
I've still
game.
Got the disc. I guess I'd have to build a Windows 98 virtual machine.
Yeah, I think that's the only way you can get to run that game.
Too bad, man. Good old games, man. They could do it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that the late 95 and 98 era was really weird for getting shit to run these days.
Yeah, but do you hear me, Gamersgate? $20. I got $20 in my hand right here. Get that running.
GOG?
Yeah. Or not, yeah, Gamersgate. Duh. I've been dealing
or so Gamersgate much. Too
or Gamersgate. Gamersgate too. I'm sorry, I meant GOG. I've been dealing so much with Gamergate BS, not the the consumer revolt Gamergate thing, but the actual website Gamersgate.com, the store.
Really?
Right? Because that other game that I'm dealing with, right? Which I probably shouldn't promote randomly on the show, but that other game is we're pushing version 2 out to Gamersgate tonight.
Right.
So it's been like today has been rebuild the website and update the forum and write the patch notes and trying to update the manual and blah, 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 you know. So I got a lot of gamersgate.com on the mind. So pardon
me. I'm a huge fan of that site. So
really? Because they're in
I love it.
They're
in
Sweden, aren't they?
Something like that. They used to be owned by Paradox many years ago, but then they now they've split off into their own thing.
Oh, interesting. You know who works for Paradox these days, right? I found out by just chatting with him, Troy Goodfellow.
Oh yeah, he does PR for them. He does PR for them.
Oh, okay, cool. Because he used to be. Speaking of this other game again, I was talking to Tom Oley over at Evolve PR because I've known Tom since long time, like 2000s, whenever we were going to E3 together and stuff. So super cool dude. Evolve PR, great place, great people. Send them your money. Whatever. They're our sponsors tonight are, you know, whatever.
I wish.
So anyway, but super, super cool guy. And I called him and I was trying to get some advice for what to do, you know, as far as like, oh my God, how do I contact all these press people? Where do I get the, you know, do you guys have a secret email list? What do you do? Right. And we talked for about a half hour or whatever, but it was, I initially was trying to get a hold of Tom, but Tom was packing to go on vacation. Because he was like going to China or something, and and then I reached out to Troy and I'm like, hey Troy, you know, I'm trying to get hold of Tom, but whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, I don't really work there anymore. I was like, what? so that's how I found out.
Yeah, he did work there for a while, but now he works for Paradox themselves, I believe.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Slytherin, Buzz Aldrin's space program manager that came out $30.
Yeah, it did.
So, yeah, people are like, it's maybe not what they wanted, but it's the game.
It's interesting.
Yeah. There's a demo for Spacecom. Have you played Spacecom?
No. Didn't I send you a key for that?
Nope.
I think I did.
Maybe you did.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It looks like it's this game that is played on a map, so it almost looks like Harpoon in space. You know, it's very much like triangles that represent fleets moving down lines between solar systems and stuff. Which is what was the game we had the guy on and I had to hook the MacBook up because you could only
Tactical
play it.
Tactical Space Command.
Right. It's kind of like that, but different. But it's in that same vein, I guess. Anyway, so there was that. Oh, let's see what else. There's something called Ghost Ship.
That's a first-person shooter.
Oh yeah, I remember this thing. It looks a lot better now because boy, when this thing first came out, it didn't look good at all.
It looks pretty cool when you realize that the whole thing was made by one guy.
Oh yeah, nice.
So that is pretty cool. He's been on our forums quite a bit.
Oh cool.
So yeah, he's a good guy.
Deep Eclipse.
Oh, I don't know.
Have you seen this yet?
No.
Yeah, it's called Deep Eclipse: New Space Odyssey. It's the space thriller in the best tradition of the genre. You're the pilot of a space fighter accidentally catapulted into a parallel universe and populated. Isn't this X Beyond the Frontier? And then not happy.
That's another trope. There you go. That's a trope.
Oh
right
my
there,
god, that is. We haven't even got there and we're doing it. This game looks cool, actually. Just looking
Deep
at the
Eclipse.
Yeah, just looking at the static screenshots. There's a movie here. It's crazy, dude. Like every time I look at Steam, there's a new space game. Yeah, this looks kind of interesting. It's a, it's like an action-y asteroids kind of, you know, there's momentum to the ship and stuff. And then he's doing a lot of thrust and then drift and shoot behind you. And he's buying parts for his ship and stuff.
Deep Eclipse.
Yeah, this looks kind of cool. It's only $6.
Why don't I know about this? It sounds... Deep Eclipse, yeah.
Yeah, damn, put that on the wish list.
Oh, I have seen that before. It looks like a shooter?
Yeah, it's a shooter. It's action-y.
Yeah. Okay, I have seen this. I think I've seen it on Desora. I might have it on Desora.
Hey, so weirdly, I got a free copy of Space Base DF9. I don't know why. Yeah, it just like, poof, there it is. I don't even know why.
If you want to talk about a trope of early access games being rushed to be finished, and we can talk about that and Kinetic Void, really.
Well, there's that, yeah. So, wow, what's this? Robo Wars. This kind of looks. It's like Plants vs. Zombies with robots. What? It's oh, that's kind of interesting. No spaceships in it, but it's got robots. Hey, should we make the announcement about the robots, or are we gonna save that? Maybe we should
Oh,
save that.
well, I was gonna put up a post. We can say something. I was gonna put up a post that about like what I'm gonna work on the site next year.
Yeah.
You know, what my like I'm gonna start some new video series, and I'm gonna launch a Patreon and stuff like that. But one of the things that Jim and I are gonna work on together is a new sister site for Space Game Junkie called Mech Game Junkie, or is it Mecha Game Junkie?
Mecha Game Junkie, because I didn't want to exclude Japan. I wanted to do it correctly.
Okay, that makes sense. So we're gonna have Mecha Game Junkie, and Jim and I are gonna work on that together, and it's just gonna be kind of like Space Game Junkie is a love letter to space games. Well, Mech Game Junkie is gonna be a love letter to, and it's not gonna be as deep or as comprehensive as Space Game Junkie, because one, it can't be. There're nowhere near enough games. But also, you know, I don't want to take too much time away
But
from
you know
Space Game
what?
Junkie.
You'd be
But both
shocked
Jim and I,
if you go hunt Steam, there's a lot of mech games coming out.
there are more mech games coming out, which is good.
And
And the thing is,
they're not all mech games that are like Battletech, right?
right.
So like Project Nimbus is really cool. If you took Ace Combat and you played Ace Combat, right? It's like a very arcadey airplane game.
Oh, yeah, one of them,
Yeah,
I
what was
think.
that that game we were playing just the other
Oh,
week?
Sky Rogue.
Yeah, Skyrogue. Okay, so take Skyrogue and be in a robot instead of an airplane, and so it's got some Zone of the Enders kind of feel to it, because you're in a flying mech.
Either you showed me that, or Knack in the chat room showed me that. One of
Yeah,
you guys showed
I
me
put it
that.
up on a stream one day, and I was like, check this shit out, because it's awesome. Actually, and it's early access, right? And it was like
Right.
$15, and it's being made by some dudes from Taiwan. So,
So, folks, we might have like a once a month Mech Game Junkie podcast, we're thinking. So yeah, we're gonna just broaden a little bit, because that is probably the other thing we both love is mech games. And we could, I get, we but we also love flight sims, but flight sims right now.
yeah, I know. Because basically,
It's really depressing.
yeah, well, basically, you have to go to Eagle Dynamics and drink their $60 Kool-Aid every time you drop a plane.
Unless we're so nichey, we just talk about flight sims from the 90s. That's what we should do. That's all we talk about is flight sims from the 90s. That's
Yeah.
the whole site. That's the whole site. If it was from 1999 to 90, 90 to 99, we'll talk about it. So all the Jane's games and Falcon and all those interactive magic
Yeah,
games
which will eventually be on Steam any damn way, looking at the way things are
Oh
going.
God, I love that.
Yeah.
I got F-14 and I got 117, and they just added Across the Rhine and shit
Yeah, I
recently. So
saw
I'm
that.
hoping they add. I'm hoping they add 1492, 19, 1492. Yeah, 1942. Yeah, that's a
Oh
different
yeah,
game.
1942, European Air
Oh
War. That was an
no,
excellent
no,
game.
that no, that's Pacific Air War. European Air War is the follow up.
Oh. Was
Different
that
game.
43 then? Pacific Air, or
Or something.
yeah,
It
okay,
didn't have a year in it. It
whichever.
didn't have a year in it.
Yeah,
But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Pacific Air War was okay, but then the one that came after it was far better because it had 3D acceleration.
I loved them both. I loved them both.
Yeah.
Because the Pacific one had an admiral mode where you can command your carrier fleet and then jump in any fighter you wanted.
It's
That
just,
was
oh my
amazing.
God, going back and trying to play something in 320 by 200 resolution,
I
so
was playing
painful.
the. Well, when TIE Fighter came out, I played the GOG version, which is in that mode. And it's a little tough after coming down, even down from the 640 by 480 version. It's a
Yeah.
little tough.
So other crap that has gone on here, and I say crap, Deadlock, Planetary Conquest. That came out on October 23rd.
I love that game.
Really?
Oh yeah, both of them. I own them both on disc and on GOG. I love
It
those.
ain't getting good reviews at all.
Oh well, you know, it's kind of old school, so today's
Yeah, I heard it
youth.
was like
Today's
super quirky and weird though.
it is quirky and weird. That's why I liked it. It is quirky and weird, but
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
So, then Sid Meier's Civilization Below Expectations. That's what BE means, right?
Oh no. So many people It's funny. Pandora, when Pandora came out, everyone's like, oh God, this civilization is going to beat this and blah, blah, blah. Then Civilization comes out and goes, hey, what about Pandora?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I, you know when I bought Pandora was 2 days after Below Expectations came out. Because I was just
Apparently,
like,
Pandora's pretty good.
yeah, I was just like, this game's not done. And Pandora's had like an expansion and a lot of patches done. Yeah, I think it's time to invest. So, indeed.
I'm hoping to sale for that one.
Let's see.
Speaking of a sale, folks, I don't know if you saw. I haven't posted it on the site yet because I was busy doing something else today. But Matrix Games and Slytherin just launched their big holiday sale today, the 25th. And the game you want to get on that sale is Starships Unlimited version 3. That game is fucking fantastic, and it's $10, and you can play it for years. Years. And never get tired of it. I have played it for years on and off. There's a video of it on the site that I did a while back when it was on like one of their weekly sales.
So what kind of
It
game is Starships Unlimited?
is kind of a 4X, but it's very ship focused. Like, you don't build tons and tons of ships. You build us a small amount of ships that are very valuable and expensive and important, so you have to take real good care of them. And the combat is very tactical. Like, each captain has their own skills, and they do their own maneuvers in combat, and you can have it totally automated or you can make it manual. And it's just a very, very unique and detailed 4X-y type game with a quirky interface that once you get used to it makes sense, but it's a little quirky at first. But it's so good.
Oh, weird.
So good.
So
And yet,
have you seen Farspace Genesis? It's an MMORPG in the space.
it's familiar. I don't know why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. Graphics look okay. Doesn't look great.
For some reason, I know of
But
this
it's very
game.
early access right now.
Sounds familiar.
So, yeah. It looked
So,
interesting. And there was a couple other little minor things that had come out.
yeah. So, folks, lots of stuff on Steam coming out right now. It's kind of amazing. I can't recommend Kinetic Void right now. I'm sorry. I mean, I played it about a month and a half, half a month ago, just to test it out. Because I'm gonna do this new series where I go into these building games like Kerbal Space Program, and just I can't build shit, so I'm just gonna fuck it all up. But it'll be funny. And I toyed around with that for a few minutes. I'm like, this has not changed much since I played it a year ago. And then they release it, and they're getting, I hate to say it, I hate to be negative toward any space game, but they're getting the flack that they deserve for releasing it before it should have been.
So, a very interesting thing about that. Do you follow Explorminate.com any? Okay.
He does a lot. He does a lot of promotions. Bless that guy. I can't figure out how to do one like contest, and he does them all the time. So
Well,
good
I
on.
noticed like a bunch of the podcasts are, hey, let's sit down and play Star Drive 2.
Yeah, he's doing that tonight. I saw on
Yeah.
Twitch
So it's kind of like,
right now.
I know you have a personal thing with Star Drive, right? But what state is Star Drive actually in now? Is Star Drive 1, because I saw reviews on there and they're like, this is a pretty darn good game. So is it done?
I don't know. I haven't played it since last summer.
Maybe we need to revisit that then.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. He's working on the sequel now, so, and we've actually had a request from a listener to bring him on. So we're going to do that once the holidays are over. I'm going to start bringing back guests on once the holidays are over.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds
So,
good. I would
yeah,
like to
but.
have him on because dudes over at Explorminate spend a lot of time with him. So I
Yeah.
guess maybe he made good on the first one. So
I hope so.
yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to revisit it. I have to make sure it's installed.
So I do need to throw while we're talking about Steam, I'm gonna pimp one
Yeah.
game. All right. I have no relation to this game whatsoever. I
Okay.
discovered it today. It costs $1.79. It's
What?
regular $1.99. It's called Instant Dungeon.
Oh yeah, no, that's a great game.
It's like Pac-Man the roguelike.
Yeah, that's exactly
It's
what it is.
yeah.
It's great. I got that from like Indie Game Stand like ages ago.
Yeah,
And
it's fun.
it's a great little game,
I was like,
and
this
I'm
is
waiting
too
for
easy,
my
and then I got to like level 15, and it was like, oh God.
And they
So
kicked your fucking ass. Yeah,
yes.
exactly. And now that's a great little game, and I'm waiting for my Steam key. Now let me make sure that's installed. Okay, good. I'm gonna install Star Drive and make sure it's installed so we can revisit it this like over the holiday.
Okay. So the tropes.
Tropes. So folks, you may wonder why I'm playing a PlayStation 2 game on the stream.
Why are you playing a PlayStation 2 game on
the
stream?
Well, there are a couple reasons. One, usually when we don't have a specific game to talk about, it's usually just the logo. And I don't want to do that to the people who are actually watching the stream or when are watching the video. It's like they're just going to look at a logo. So I was talking to Knack in the chat room today, and we were talking about how so many tropes come from Star Wars. So many tropes come from Star Wars. So I'd asked if he had played, you know, this game. You told me about this game. You told me about Jedi Starfighter. I got it because of you.
Because it's ridiculous.
I did it because of you. No,
That game is ridiculous.
I know.
It's
I was just
so
using...
much better, though, than this episode
the Starfighter
one, Starfighter.
It really is. It really is. Because, I mean, what other flight sim, space sim, lets you also shoot random lightning, which I was just doing, at enemies from far away? I love that, by the way.
That is pretty
cool. So I'm like, I will stream this tonight because it'll be funny and I can do it. I'm using an emulator to stream a copy. So there are two reasons. One, because so many tropes come from Star Wars, and two, I didn't want the video to just be a logo the whole time. So I wanted it to be something a little interesting. But tonight we're talking about tropes, and we got a lot to talk about. We got some user submissions, and then we came up with a bunch ourselves. So do you have the thing up, Jim, so we can go over it?
I certainly do, sir.
All right, let's start with the user submissions. First up, I'm not sure the name of the person who does this Twitter account, but it's the Wing Commander CIC Twitter. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of squeed a little bit when they tweeted back at me.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I'm a huge fan of that site. That site's been around forever. You know, and they're amazing at what they do. They kick ass. So when they tweeted back at me, I was like, oh, they know I exist. Oh, I was fanning myself like an old Southern Belle. So that was nice. But I don't know the name of the person who runs that account, but they said, Wing Commander has traitors aplenty, trench runs, and the need for player characters to always be in charge of the wing. Well, that's kind of okay, a trench run, very Star Warsy.
Yeah.
I mean, very, again, with the Star Wars. And there are other games that have done trench runs and things like that. They're like, Dark Star 1 has a mission that's pretty much a trench run on a planet. And, yeah, Wing Commander's got the trench run.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually have Alliance. Wing Commander and Alliance, I mean, X-Wing and Alliance both have their trench runs.
There's actually I'm looking it up right now. Mm-hmm. There was... an Intellivision game.
What?
An Intellivision game. Yeah, this is it. What was this called? Oh, gosh. Visit page. Oh, damn it. It doesn't have it on here. Crap. It's like I found the image. Oh, there it is. Star Strike. Yes, for the Mattel Intellivision. The entire game is a trench run. This came out in 1981. So I don't know what its influence was.
Oh, gee, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Remember the original Wireframe Star Wars game that, like, half of it was a trench run?
Yeah, you know, I have a theory about that game. I feel that game was a major part of why the arcades crashed.
Like, Star Wars?
Yep, I think so.
Okay,
Because they would make all these games that weren't Star Wars, but people would play them because they were space games, and we could pretend that they were Star Wars, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, I can get that Luke Skywalker fix or whatever. Then Star Wars came out, and we actually could fly an X-Wing and do that. So I think the popularity of the other space games maybe waned a little bit because this was finally the game that we were trying to play in all the other ones. And then once we were bored of that, we were just like, oh, okay, I've had it. So I don't know. But, yeah. We need to find a place that's going to have that new Star Wars sit-down cockpit thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dave and Buster's got it. That's the most...
I think they're the target market for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I played that original way back when.
Yep. So, trench runs, definitely.
So trench runs and traitors. Yeah, lots of games. There are a good chunk of games that have traitors in them.
Yeah,
like Wing Commander,
like the whole Hobbs thing, right? Calvin and Hobbes.
That hurt. That really hurt.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming, man.
I didn't want to see it coming. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people did. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, saw it, you know, like right off the bat. But I didn't want to see it coming. You know, I really liked Hobbes. And didn't Tim Curry voice Hobbes in Wing Commander 3? Yeah. That made it harder because I'm like, Hobbes, no, you son of a bitch. Yeah. But I'm trying to think of what other games have traitors in them. Like Free Space 2, I guess you could look at Admiral Bosch as a traitor to humanity. Really? Yeah. He's a big one. Oh, and the whole Civil War aspect to TIE Fighter.
Oh, that's kind of a big it was kind of like, what was the Admiral?
Zarin.
Yeah, Zarin.
Admiral Zarin, that son of a bitch, yeah. That bastard, yeah. No, I hate him so much. Hate him so much. So, yeah, traitors are a decent one. And, God, where are some other games with traitors in them? There's got to be some. There's got to be some.
Yeah, so what were the other tropes that...
He also said the player has to be in charge of a wing.
Oh, yeah, because you were always, right? You're the wing leader.
Yeah, you have to be the wing leader.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Because the wingmen weren't smart enough to really do it on their own. The first game where I could actually be a wingman and not the lead was Falcon 4. Because I could drop myself into the – and because I didn't want the responsibility for having to lead the whole flight, right? So I'll just be the wingman and let the computer, you know, call out targets and tell me what to engage, and I'm good. And I actually enjoyed that more. And also you have to fly formation instead of I am the formation. So interesting. But right. Anyway, yeah, it's a big time thing. You must always be the lead ship. But then again, you always have to be the hero, right? But Luke Skywalker was not the lead. He was Red 5.
Yeah, but then he became the lead.
Well, through attrition.
He was the lead later.
It took about 5 minutes. That's how you
well,
get
no,
battlefield
Wedge was
promotions.
Still Wedge was still around. That's what killed me, is that Wedge was still around.
Yeah, but poor Porkins.
Oh, I know. I miss
Porkins. He never got his...
He didn't really get a chance.
No, not so much.
Didn't really get... Or the actual Red Leader guy who, you know, died, sadly, pretty fast. Yeah, that was really... That was upsetting.
Yeah.
Because everyone liked that guy. At least I did.
So
I like that guy a lot.
You know, it would be interesting to follow the careers of the guys that were the wingmen in the Star Wars movies and just be like, what other movies were they ever in, if any?
Well, the actors, you mean?
Yeah.
I was going to say, there is a series of books. There's a series of Red Squadron books that follow Red Squadron. So, I mean, you could in the soon-to-be the soon-to-be discounted expanded universe, or the already discounted.
Oh well, you know, maybe the price will go up because now it's forbidden fruit because they'll never get reprinted ever.
I don't know if they'll never get reprinted, but I mean, they I can't imagine they're not going to sell well.
Yeah,
you know. Mm. Oh man, I'm getting my butt kicked. But there are. Yeah, those are all like the Wing Commander-y tropes, because the Wing Commander did take a lot from Star Wars. Let's just be honest, right?
Yeah.
So what else? In a good way.
What else do we have from readers?
Okay, so the next one we have from, I believe, your friend Michael Cope. That's your buddy, right? He said he can think of a couple of games where pirate factions where the pirates have their own tech, like Freelancer. Isn't the point of being a pirate so you don't have to develop your own industry and work for the man?
Well, I guess, but maybe pirates have the freedom to invent alternate things. I don't know.
Well, maybe, but also I think that, like, I always thought that pirate ships were, like, discontinued ships or something that, like, are easy to steal because no one wants them now, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I really like from a pirate aspect is I like their ships whenever they're kind of like cobbled together scrap from other ships.
Yeah.
That's really
cool
exactly. Because it's like, yeah, they're not out buying new ships, but, you know, they could have like some mismatched parts, or sometimes their ships look like sheet metal just kind of nailed together.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's good times. You know? And if they can work a big skull into the front of it, so much the better, like Captain Harlock style. So
what's Captain Harlock?
It's an anime.
Ah.
Yeah. They actually did a new anime movie of it last year, maybe 2 years ago. It
was
wasn't
it
super great. The animation was spectacular. The problem that it suffered was that it was instead of a lot of ass kicking in the movie, like, you know, fleet battles and crap, it was more like let's have this story about you know, Cataclysm and saving the universe and being the good guys and stuff, right? And not so much like let's just go kick the man's ass, which is what I really wanted it to be. But it falls down that thing. Remember the Final Fantasy movie? And we were like, fuck yeah, Final Fantasy movie. And then it's like, oh yeah, it's about the Gaia spirits from the other planet. And, you know, we just have to help their spirits find peace. And whatever. And it's just like, oh God, you know, because too Japanese for me. Sorry.
That sounds pretty terrible. I never actually saw that movie.
Oh,
so,
well, now you
because I've never really played. No, I never.
It had nothing
to
do with any Final Fantasy game.
That's what a lot of people told me, and so that made me want to see it even less. Because I think the only Final Fantasy game I have played is Tactics.
Oh,
it's the only Final Fantasy game I played, which was a very good game.
Yeah. By the way. So what else we got?
Jeez. So that's that, and then we have one more. NAC and IRC today was like the Empire versus the Republic, or the Empire versus colonies, or the Empire versus somebody. And that is a very old trope. I mean, that goes before Star Wars, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's like all over the place, that one.
I think it goes clear back to Rome, actually.
Well, I was thinking of the best game that I think does this, and it's an old game called Star Crusader. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes.
At all?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Yeah, because you started as like a pilot for this interstellar Roman Empire, basically. And at one point, you could like decide, oh, I still want to fly for the Romans, or I could, you know, switch sides.
Well, what about Renegade Legion Interceptor? It was straight up Romans in space.
I never got far in that game.
Well, there was two, right? There was one that was a board game. It was a quite literal translation of the board game to the computer, and it was kind of good.
Oh, that was the top-down one that came out in the late 80s, right?
Yeah. Well, early 90s, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. And then they came out with the one that was more TIE Fighter-y, which honestly I wish I had played more. But I just had such better games at the time. And it was like,
yeah, I was the same way, because it was a feast back at that point. And so I played a few missions, and I was like, eh, there are better games I could play right now. I should revisit it at some point, because it apparently wasn't terrible.
Well, the thing that was interesting about the actual game, you know, the board game itself, was that the spaceships had armor on them. It was kind of like BattleTech, right, where you check off boxes of armor on the mech. But it actually it would be like a rectangle of armor that's like so many squares thick and, you know, like 10 squares wide. And when you would get hit by certain weapons, they had templates that, you know, like a bullet would do. If it was like a penetrating shot, it would do like line. It would do squares in a straight line. But if it was an explosive shell, it would kind of knock a crater out of your armor.
Oh, I
and
like
that kind of thing. Oh yeah, it was. I've never seen a game since that was like that. And they also did a Renegade Legion. It was a tank game. It was hover tanks, and it was the same system. Oh yeah, that game was hella fun.
That was a board game or a computer game?
Yeah, it was a board game. I wish it had been a computer game.
That sounds pretty great, actually.
Yeah. So, it was like Micro Armor or Firefly or, you know, one of those tabletop tank games, except instead of World War II, it was freaking hover tanks, and it had this really cool armor mechanic, because when you'd punch through the armor, then you'd start rolling internal things and find out what systems went down and stuff. So it was very, very detailed about what you broke. And in fact, in the fighter game, there was like a wiring diagram flow chart that was the damage for the inside of the
God,
ship.
Oh, God, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it was
great.
Crazy. So it would be like, okay, well, I killed this thing. All right, I got a 50-50 chance to kill this or that, you know, as it, like, blasts through the ship. Yeah, it was really – now I want to play it again. Damn it. So anyway, all right, so that's all the people tropes, right?
Those are all the user suggested tropes. I mean, the Empire one was pretty good. It kind of makes you want to play Star Crusader again.
Yeah.
That was such a good fucking game.
It felt very British. I think it was.
It was. I forget the name of the developer, but the publisher was Game Tech, and I believe they were British,
Okay.
if I recall. But that's all I remember, really.
Okay, so the list that we came up with,
Yeah, the
right?
list that we came up
So
with.
the first one that struck me, because when we were looking at Rebel Galaxy with the
Oh
guys, was the whole like, yeah, the spaceship that you got from a relative, and then it's like your mom's secret base because she was whatever, you know. And I'm like, okay, it's the family heirloom trope,
that's
because
true.
this is your father's lightsaber. He wanted you to have it when
Yeah,
you were
Rebel
old enough.
Galaxy does that. God, what was a game recently we played? Oh, Independence War 2,
Yeah,
Disturbed.
absolutely. It's like, yeah, grandma was a space pirate, and here's
Yeah.
her base and her
Papa
ship.
was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, exactly.
Grandma was a space pirate.
Okay, so then we also had the prototype spaceship, right?
Oh God,
Which,
like Dark Star One
yeah, like Dark
or
Star One, or in
the
Nexus, the Jupiter
Skunk.
incident,
Oh
whenever the
yeah.
alien ship shows up, and then it's just like, why have anything else? My God, it's like the
Exactly.
alien super ship, right?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't even have to be a prototype ship. Like Privateer had that alien gun, that prototype slash alien gun that could kill anything.
Yeah.
Remember that? Once you got that, you were pretty much
Mean the one they took away from you
unstoppable.
in the expansion?
Oh
Cried.
God, yes. So kill me now. That was so sad. I love that gun so bad.
Yeah, but that's pretty much the deal, right? Is we need to have some way for the player to be godlike. So let's give him an alien prototype
For a
ship.
little while. For a
Yeah.
little while. Not all, not the whole time, but for a little while.
Yeah. You know a ship type that we do not see
What's that?
hardly ever. Like I can think
What's
of
that?
like one game is a saucer. You don't see the like classic flying saucer type ship.
Star Control.
That's the one that I was thinking of.
And oh, the UFO game. Remember UFO? That's it, though.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's
So
really it.
there was like a flight simulator UFO game where you flew around and abducted people.
That's what I was talking
Okay,
about.
and
That's
then there was
UFO.
another one that never came out, but I ended up with a beta copy of it once. And this was like back in the late 90s or so. And you were actually flying a UFO that you had stolen from Area 51, and the Air Force was trying to shoot you down and shit. The control scheme on that was brilliant because the ship would go in any direction, and it had no momentum or anything. It was just like, you know, it would drift until you hit a key, and then it would go like hell in the direction the camera was pointed. And that
Yeah,
was great.
the one I was thinking of came out from Sublogic. It was like polygonal wireframe-ish graphics in the late 80s. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I don't think it was a saucer. It was like some kind of other UFO. It was a weirdly shaped thing. But
It was like a polygonal saucer. It wasn't
yeah.
completely round. I
I
wasn't
I w
completely round.
you know, if you think you've seen Forbidden Planet, right?
A long, 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 long time ago.
Okay. So the interesting thing about Forbidden Planet and Lost in Space was that
Yeah.
humans arrived at the shape of ship that will fly through space, interstellar, happens to be the classic saucer,
Right.
right? And I think that that is something that should come up more in science fiction, is like, oh yeah, the aliens do it that way because that's what works. You know, there's a reason that the ship is shaped like a saucer. So
Right.
when humans actually develop faster than light travel, well, it's a saucer because that's what works. You know, it's the most compact form to put, you know, whatever kind of crazy gyro, whatever the hell is in there, right? Like maybe if you make it like a triangle or a cube, it just doesn't work as well.
Let's see. There are ships with like saucer-based designs,
Well, like Star
like
Trek-y.
Star Trek, obviously, but also the Dreadnought from the first Independence War. The middle of that was very saucer-like,
Okay.
if you recall.
I don't
So
think that I
it's.
ever got that. Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. Right. So the ship that you had, that dreadnought.
I was thinking like some advanced thing.
Yeah, well, the reason that it was shaped like that was actually the reactor, because it had a ring. It was sort of like a ring accelerator in the ship. And it gave an actual reason. Like, this is why it's got a big saucer section in the middle.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
And then they built the crew pods around that, which could be ejected, which I loved.
Yeah. So that was kind of neat. Okay. I would say the next trope is probably, well, there's two in a row. They're both heinous. But I think the first one, cargo inspection.
I swear to God, I mean, the LucasArts games are the most guilty of this. They totally are, because I swear to God, I brought Nicole in, my girlfriend, for like, maybe this will be funny if she watches me play TIE Fighter, and like, she knows nothing about these games, so maybe it'll be enjoyable. And like, it was a fucking like, inspect everything and shoot like three things. I'm like, fuck you, game. Thanks. That's great. That's exactly what I wanted. It's just to inspect a bunch of shit. That's so exciting. And then like, every time you'd see that guy with the hood or whatever, you know, he's like, inspect this shuttle, inspect these cargo containers, inspect that Star Destroyer. It's like, fuck you, man. You don't got probes or whatever? What do I gotta do?
I know, right? It's like, it's stupid. That's something for a droid to do. Like,
exactly.
But I guess it's a thing of like, we're going to have you out here for a little while and give you something to do to distract you. Meanwhile, bad things are going to jump in and start killing your dudes or
bad
something.
Bad things are going to happen, and you could like ignore the bad things and go and inspect that little cargo container over there or that shuttle, or you could, you know, focus on shooting down everything that's shooting at you.
Yeah.
It's so fucking – I'm trying to think of other games that are as grievous with that as like the LucasArts games.
LucasArts games are definitely the top of it, although you did get some in Free Space.
Oh, a little bit. In the very beginning, you did get a little bit of that, but thankfully not much. Thankfully,
and more
it was
so
like
in
one,
Free Space 1 than 2.
Yeah, thankfully in Free Space 2 it was like maybe one or two missions that were like, scan this. And that's really – that was really kind of it. I mean, I think there might have been a clandestine one where you had to scan one too.
Well, the big one in Free Space 2 is at the very beginning, because it's like, go scan that asteroid, and then the asteroid splits and a big battleship comes out of it. And it's like, you had to be in position for that one, right? So, okay. So, but good God, the LucasArts games, so much cargo inspection. so
like,
much.
Really?
And the worst was, of course, X-Wing Alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're in a slug trying to...
Spend 10 or 15 minutes in a Y-1300, not even a modified cool one, just a sluggy, slow Y-T-1300, going around scanning like 50, 80,000 cargo containers. And then 10 minutes in, someone's going to jump in and shoot at you. And if you die, you have to do it all over again. That was great.
Yes. So fabulous. All right.
So,
and then the next thing that makes you lose and restart missions is escort missions.
Hate it so much. I kind of get it. You know, if you're a military pilot, you're going to have to escort freighters sometimes, and you're gonna have to escort, you know, bombers sometimes.
Right, that's kind of what they do, right? Like,
but it's so like annoying that they do that. It feels like they do it a little too much.
A bit. It's a trope.
It is. It feels like it's lazy. Like, oh, we're gonna throw in an escort mission. I like what Ethereum does with escort missions, in that you have a target you're protecting, and anything attacking that target turns like bright purple in your HUD. That's a nice little usability feature that I wish we saw more of. I mean, Free Space 2 has the escort list, which helped, but you still have to hit escort and then another button to see who's attacking, whatever. You can't just like glance at your HUD and see the colors. So that's one thing Ethereum got very right, I think. And I also like that, you know what bugs me about escort missions the most is that the ship you're escorting, they never have teeth. You know, they never have teeth of their own. They're all like, put a fucking turret on that. I mean, what if you couldn't get some fighters? What if we were all busy? You know, I mean, what if we had to do, what is that? An alert? What, a scramble?
Yeah.
What is that? A scramble mission where like The carrier is under attack. We all have to scramble and get out there and defend it. Oh, there are no – we can't do our scheduled freighter escort mission. The freighter is either going to have to sit where it is or it's going to have to fucking go on its own.
Yeah, what would be interesting would be if freighters actually traveled in groups like bombers in World War II. Where
Why
they fly
not?
In a formation so that if fighters come in, it's like they're not really heavily armed, but they've all got some turrets. And you get overlapping fire,
yeah.
And you definitely don't want to come in there. That's how I would do it.
No, I'm with you, man. I mean, that makes complete and utter sense, yet I don't think I've seen one game ever do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it makes sense that a freighter would, like, hire a few guys to man a turret.
Yep.
You know, put like 4 or 8 turrets on that thing and hire a bunch of guys to man them. And, you know, I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Jesus.
And I think the absolute worst game for escort missions is, Privateer 2. It's you're on an escort mission. That's your job. And then you can't leave until all the pirates are dead.
Actually, that makes it even worse. You know why Privateer 2 makes it even worse?
No, well, I was saying that makes it terrible.
It even gets worse than that is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Because to transport – if you want to do any trading on your own,
mm-hmm.
you have to hire a cargo hauler and escort that from your launch point to to your destination. So basically you're creating your own escort mission.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's awful.
Wow!
Like
no.
who is the person who hated us who thought of that idea?
Just say no.
I mean, there's really. No other way. Your ship has no cargo capability. You only fly fighters, and so if you get jumped by a few fighters, you might lose your cargo guy if you can't take them out. Especially if there's like one of those heavily armed shuttle things, and you can't jump and you can't run away, so you're fucked. It's there's so many bad design decisions in that game.
Yeah, count me out. I've never played that. Okay, so another thing that's Wing Commander-y, and well, Star Wars as well, the insane admiral trope, right? So we had crazy ass Tolwyn, and
which is so sad because I love Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah,
but he yeah. He,
well, you know, okay, so maybe a little crazy, but was he maybe? He was his own hero, right? So, I mean, did he finally just go completely irredeemable batshit, or was he actually thinking like, okay, what I'm doing is actually for the greater good? It's just that the hero happens to disagree with my methods.
That's that one.
Yeah,
he thought what he was doing was for the greater good of the Confederation by keeping its edge sharp. You know, keeping the edge of the knife sharp.
Right, which is better than. Hey, you know, we're going to throw everybody's lives away because, you know, I'm chasing the white whale. You know,
right.
He didn't go full Ahab. So, okay, you know. But really, Ahab from Moby Dick is the inspiration for the classic crazy admiral.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like anyone is expendable in the pursuit of my momentary goal.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Tolwyn believed what he was doing was helping the Confederation, but people were dying left and right because of what he was doing. But he didn't see a problem with that, so that's where he lost it.
Mm.
And then he hung himself after he was convicted, which is so sad.
Yep.
So, so sad.
So, the other stuff, right? Like, Savior of the Galaxy. And this is not just a trope that goes down in this kind of game, but it's also just criminally terrible in RPGs in general. Any kind of computer story, but you get it the worst in RPGs. Like Dragon Age just came out. Hope saving the world. You know, like who knew?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't
JRPGs like the worst for that?
Yeah, they
you're
they
like a 16,
are.
You're like a 16-year-old kid, and you have to save the world.
Right. I kind of
like
that. In the 50s, right, when we would have, like, Invasion of the Saucer Men, it was like, well, the high school kids know what's going on, but they can't get the adults to listen to them until it's damn near too late. You know?
Oh, God, I know, yeah.
It's almost like Lassie's barking, Timmy's down the well, and nobody will listen to her. You know, it's the, yeah, that kind of
thing. I mean, you gotta say that, I think Buffy turned that trope on its tail fairly well, I think.
How so?
Because everyone was like in the dark. It was just a few kids, you know, that like knew what the hell was going on, like the Slayer and the Scooby Gang. And then even the kids were like, what the hell, ignoring what the hell was going on. So it wasn't like just the stupid adults, you know, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
I don't know. I just watched it for Allison Hannigan. If she wasn't there, I really wasn't paying any attention.
So. Oh, well, I can't blame you. I can't blame you on that. She's very cute. She married one of the actors from the show, right?
No.
Oh yeah, she married the guy, the
Xander?
Wesley.
Oh. Okay.
She married Wesley.
Interesting. So
he's a handsome fella.
Yeah. Well, I've seen her on like How I Met Your Mother and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah. Interesting. She still kinda looks the same. She's aged a little, but not she matured. Great. She did not age. That's the deal.
She is barely changed. Yeah. She is like barely changed. And this is after at least one kid.
Yep.
Kinda crazy.
So
kinda crazy.
So let's see. The Space Pirate Biker Gang.
I just ran into one of those in another game, I think. What game was that? Void Expanse, I think, where there's kind of a biker gang thing.
Oh.
What game were you thinking of where this trope came from?
Just in general. It was like every time there's space pirates, they're always like, you know, leather and spikes and R. but they're more a biker gang than pirates, really. Because I guess that's the dystopian future version of pirates, right? Is more like Road Warrior.
Oh, well, those are amazing.
Yeah.
But it's
basically like, you know, Road Warrior in space.
That's true.
That's kind of what I had in mind there. And if you look back in, just the amazing abundance of space pirates. Like, they never run out of newbie space pirates that are very easy to kill. It's almost like we need something to fight. Space pirates. They're the zombies of space, if you will.
That's true. Like, most games, like, the space pirates are kind of stupid and not really much of a threat.
Yep.
That's kind of why I liked Independence War a little bit, because you had those rebel space piratey guys who actually were fairly intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, they knew to capture ships and stuff like that, and they did a very good job of it. Ooh, what the hell? So, but yeah, pirates, I mean, and there aren't a lot of games that focus on being pirates either. I mean, a lot of games have pirates, but either it's a choice you can do, or that's pretty much it.
Right.
Or it's a choice, or it's just someone you fight against. You know, that's really it. That's why Independence War 2 is so good.
Yeah, because they actually had a little something going on. So, okay, so the precursor race, right?
Oh God,
it's always like, well, this advanced technology is here. Like, who built the Stargates? Well, the ancient race that's gone now. You know, they left some artifacts laying around, some pyramids, whatever.
Right.
Because it gives you treasure to discover, right?
You know the best game for that? I'm going to spoil Starflight for a lot of people. But you know what? A lot of people aren't going to be playing a 30-year-old game. So that's fine. So you play Starflight, and when you start playing Starflight, you're like, oh, I've got this fuel, you know, that's called Endorium. You know, and it's you can mine it on these planets. You find it wherever. And so you're flying around. You hear all this talk about the ancients, all this fascinating technology with the ancients. And then you come to find out Endurium are the ancients, and you've been burning them for fuel the whole time.
Is it like they're like dinosaurs, and we're burning them like gasoline, or
no? It's like they became sentient somehow, but I forget how they did it. And it's the amazing thing about that game is like it's not even in a big cutscene or anything. It's just like some text you find on a planet. And you're like, oh, the ancients have become Endurium. And you're like, holy shit, what?
So the ancients were like bacteria or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. And you're killing them left and right. And the sad thing is you have to keep killing them to finish the game, to save everybody else.
Huh.
Which is the it's I've never seen a twist in like that in a game since, honestly.
That's pretty awesome.
So that's one of the best uses, I think, of that like kind of ancients trope is, oh yeah, by the way, you're killing the ancients. you're using them for fuel, you son of a bitch. And you have to keep using them or else everyone will die. That's great. So, but yeah, I was playing a game the other day called The Precursors, which is like, I think, focused around that very, very thing. And doesn't Star Control 2 like really focus hard on the precursors?
Oh, yeah.
Or the ancient race as well?
Yeah, kind of. So, by the way, speaking of Star Control 2, we're still not done with news. I saw an article today where they're doing another reboot. It's an HD reboot of Urquan Masters.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is
it's
pretty
a fork.
Neat.
It's a fork, apparently, of the original one. It's a fork where they made all the textures and everything high def instead of the low def textures, low def, standard def. I don't know.
Yeah.
Low def, standard def textures they've been doing, and it looks pretty nice. I'm definitely gonna have to play it because you know the Urquan Masters is pretty awesome. I love that they keep working on that thing.
Yeah. It's a dang good game. So it would be nice to just see it brought to, you know, modernness. Other funny thing that I saw today was...
Isn't Stardock doing a new one?
I don't know. I mean, I know they're doing, the Galciv 3, but...
Well, no, I think they're doing an actual new Star Control.
Ah, weird.
Yeah, I know.
Huh. Nope, wasn't aware of that. So, interesting, though. I think they could do a Star Flight game in their universe, right? Like, if you were the first ship that went out and discovered all the aliens or whatever, they could use their existing races and make a Star Flight game. You just get one ship. It's like playing Galciv 3, but you have one ship. Don't get killed. So, yeah.
Make it a roguelike.
Exactly, yeah.
Like Weird Worlds or something.
Yeah, I guess Weird Worlds does kind of have that covered, doesn't it? But, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so Precursor... You know, the game that was really intense with Precursor Race was Mass Effect. Wow.
Oh, really?
The entire game is about the Precursor Race and the lessons that they were trying to tell us that we failed to decipher in time. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, in the very first game. And that's what's so brilliant about the thing was they had precursor artifacts and stuff, and you find one, the first mission of the first game, and you touch it, and you have, like, this this reality-bending vision, right, where you just, like, mind-meld with this thing, and you have, like, these crazy, like, just weird visions, right? And none of it makes any sense until right. About halfway through the second game. And then it's like, oh, well, I mean, they kind of get into it in the first game, but they don't lay it all out until about halfway through the second. And then you know who the precursors were. And then it's like, oh, yeah. So indeed. And then the third game goes even further because you get one in your crew. He's the last of them. He was like in hyper sleep. And you wake him. Well, you have a chance to wake him up. And,
oh, what happens if you don't?
Well, he just doesn't, right? But it's like, obviously, I'm going to, like, reload my save until I get him, right? So, yeah, but he's the last of the precursors. And he's a pretty interesting character to have around. I didn't use him in combat a lot, but he was cool for conversations, though. But, yeah, and they do a lot of flashback because he explains, you know, like, what happened. And it's like the last time the Cataclysm came, he was there. He saw it. And they just managed to, like, bury enough people to survive or try to. And they managed to have one guy live. So he's like, and you know, as fate would have it, he's woken up when the bad stuff is happening again. So... He's in the right place at the right time to finally give the message. But it's like, oh, well, you know, if you guys would have known this maybe 100 years ago, you know, whatever. But, yeah. But fun game. Precursors. All right. So my other one is the It's a problem I have in general with real-time strategy games.
Yeah.
And also in space, right? Like, how long does it take to make a ship? Apparently, 30 seconds. And I can just keep pooping out ships from my starbase at a steady state, right? Sins of a Solar Empire style. Just keep
Ah,
cranking
I
out
see what you're
dudes.
saying.
It's almost like I have a nanite printer and I'm just like pooping ships. Right? Wow. I think like a naval ship takes years in dry dock to
Years.
build.
Oh, years. Absolutely years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
But
it's not a.
this is the future, man. We
I.
got more advanced doodads
I
and
guess.
things to build ships faster. No, I see what you're saying, though. Ships should feel weighty and powerful and meaningful, and
Well,
not just.
it's like Pearl Harbor, right? The Japanese blew up our whole frickin' fleet, and then we had to scramble to make more boats. So
Yeah.
how quick can we make boats? Right? That kind of is a lesson about that. Like you can, if you totally go like into a total war economy, yeah, you can
Yeah.
make some boats. But it's people don't just have that laying around. It takes a little while to spin up to it. I'd have to look at the history. And now I'm very interested. Like, how long did it take before we could engage in the Pacific?
Well, because they didn't hit our carrier fleet, thank God, it wasn't as probably as long as it could have been.
Yeah, but all our battleships were toast.
Yeah, but that's the funny thing about that is because all the battleships were toast, they became secondary to the carrier.
Yes,
So
it was a carrier war for sure.
it's
So.
just kind of funny. It's just kind of funny how that worked out. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Like, oh, 2 minutes, here's a ship. I mean,
Yep.
in game time, what is it, a month or two? I mean, that does seem a bit quick. I mean, think about it, though. We've got 3D printers now, that can print guns and things in like in hours, maybe minutes. Think about if we had like 3D printers on a grand scale, hundreds of years from now, that could just like blah, 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 ship.
Yeah. Well, it was like, was it Total Annihilation? Right, where you'd build the factories and you'd actually see the nanite printers actually building your units. So that was kind of interesting. So,
Oh yeah, that was cool. You'd like see them kind of assemble slowly
yeah.
as the nanites built them. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But I see what you're saying. Yeah, and RTS games are very guilty of that, especially spaceship ones, 'cause like you train a guy or you build a fucking jeep with a gun on it. Yeah, that can't take a hell of a long time. But an entire spaceship with turrets and warp drives and shit? Like how long did the Enterprise take to build?
Quite some time.
While a few years at least, yeah,
So
so I see what you're saying.
tied into what I said about the precursor race, I didn't notice that this was a so the trope of yeah, I was a popsicle for 100 years in a cryo tube, and now I'm awake and I have to save the universe right on time.
Yeah, I ran into that recently with that game called Dangerous, which is exactly what happens. Basically, you get, I don't remember what the crime is. I don't even know if they tell you, but you get re your pers you get renamed as Dangerous. So everyone knows you're Dangerous. Your character's name is actually Dangerous. And then you get like cryo frozen for 100 years, but oh my God, they suddenly need you. So yeah, and I think there are other games that do that too. Like Independence War did that a little bit. I don't think it was 100 years, but remember Jefferson Clay,
Oh, yeah.
who was like asleep as an AI for however long, and then they woke his ass up,
Yep.
and he was pissed,
Well,
and rightfully so.
not only the cryo tube thing, but the other thing that a lot of games do is the whole you're the amnesiatic hero,
Oh yeah, like
right?
Freelancer.
Yeah. It's like I have no
Yeah.
idea why I'm
Or
whatever.
Privateer 2, for God's sakes.
Yep. So, I mean,
Yeah.
at least Independence War II, you were kind of clueless because you were a kid, right? And you went to prison for like 15 years, and then
Right.
you get busted out. So it's kind of like, yeah, you're an adult, but you're clueless, sort of. So, so that also ties in with the next one, which is the whole ragtag slash lost fleet, because in the book, The Lost Fleet, that's kind of how they got their captain. was because he was a hero that was a popsicle. And what was it, like 1,000 years or something later?
No,
that he woke
a few
up?
hundred, like 300, like 100, 200, something like that. Like yeah. A while.
It was some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But you see how all these tropes are starting to combine into like super tropes now. So, we just talked about World War II and the stealing of World War II settings, all right?
Well, fuck you, Star Wars. Thank you for ruining everything.
Well, because George Lucas. Because starfighters, honestly,
this is probably the biggest one. This is probably huge. The biggest one.
Because the entire vision of physics in space
physics?
Is shot to shit. Because,
what are you talking about?
Physics. I know, right? So the whole way that starships fight is like World War II airplanes, the starfighters.
Yeah, because George Lucas loved the movie The Dam Busters, apparently, and
yep.
took a lot of shit from that. It took like, I don't know if it was frame for frame, but there were a lot of similarities, apparently, from what I've seen. Between the Dam Busters and like the first battle, the big Death Star battle in Star yep. Wars.
So back to the ragtag fleet thing a little bit though.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Okay. So we had Homeworld. I think Homeworld is the.
Oh yeah. That's probably the pinnacle of the ragtag fleet space game.
Yeah, because of course Battlestar Galactica, I think, invented that shit, and. It's been a good go-to ever since. There was a game called Epic that was back on the Amiga.
Oh, that was Ocean?
Yeah,
was
that Ocean made it. Yeah. That also, yeah. It was Battlestar Galactica-style thing.
Vaguely remember that. And it's kind of funny because Gene Roddenberry envisioned Star Trek as a wagon train to the stars, but it was only one ship. Mm. So Battlestar Galactica, I loved how it kind of expanded on that idea. You know, and made it this much bigger thing, which was pretty awesome.
Mm. So, and I guess the last one is about bombers, because they treat bombers like fighters. They're just slow and heavily armored.
I know. I hate that. I mean, I love I'm a big fan of bombers. The B-17 is my favorite bomber. I do love that thing. And I do love the B-52 as well.
But they're more like a heavy attack craft and not so much a bomber.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
It's the IL-2 of space.
Yeah, or the P-47 or the A-10 of space, rather that just happens to have bombs, or the A-1 Sky Raider, which is probably one of my all-time favorites. It's just basically that with a bunch of bombs on it.
Yeah.
It's
by the way, I have a book to give you. It's specifically about guys that flew A-1 Sky Raiders in Vietnam. It's an excellent book.
I might have it. We'll talk about that after the show, because I do have this one book about the Sky Raider.
Okay.
That is but it covers its whole lifespan.
Well, this is just
it might be a different book.
He went to Thailand, and then they were based out of there, and they were flying over into Cambodia and bombing stuff. So it was like a CIA secret air war thing. So yeah. But anyway, I'll show you that later. But that's pretty much the deal.
Yeah, and I think my favorite all-time bomber was the Broadsword from Wing Commander 2, because that thing was a big slug and it felt like a bomber. It had a turret on it. It flew like shit. You know, it felt more like a bomber than a lot of any other bomber I can think of in space gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what the fuck is a TIE bomber? A TIE bomber is a TIE fighter with another.
It's just got a big rocket pod on it.
It's like it's got another fuselage on it that shoots rockets. That's basically what that fucking thing is. That's all it is. It's not. It's a TIE attack craft, like you said. It's not really a bomber. I mean, yep. I guess it could be. It is. There's that one scene in Empire where it's bombing shit on the asteroid. Mm-hmm. But you never do that in the games.
So you know where
never do that in the games.
Where bombers were, it's almost like a torpedo bomber.
Yeah, like a dive bomber.
Yeah, well, yeah. not even so much a dive bomber, but a torpedo bomber from the Pacific, right?
Yeah, no, that's
because
very
you have one shot. You're a delivery mechanism for a torpedo, and you have to get like really low and the right speed and perfectly flat and just let that thing slip into the water, you know? So,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
that's a thing I think with the space games that maybe you should have a tighter launch profile for your ordnance. Like it forces you have to hold targets, stay in a straight line, be very vulnerable till, and they kind of do that with like missile lock times and stuff. Okay, I guess, sure.
Yeah,
So,
sure.
but it's basically like the more powerful the missile, the longer it takes to lock. Seems to be the deal.
Yeah, and it's
But
like,
I like the
but
bombers in Free Space 2, actually. They had like the
yeah,
big Kodiaks and stuff, and those things were huge.
they're more like actual like World War II bombery things, and like even the torpedoes. Like I didn't know I was supposed to do this, but apparently, like remember the dive bombers? You had to really go fast because the bombs used your momentum and your speed to help push them to the target.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know that Free Space 2 had a bomber with torpedoes that did the exact same thing.
Oh, so you turn on your afterburners and then let the
Yeah,
bomb go.
you gotta gun it and then let the bomb go. I didn't know that until after I failed the mission and it told me.
Oh.
It's like, oh, that's great.
That is
Thanks.
kind of
Thanks,
neat.
Ness. It is neat. Yes, it is neat. I like that because that's more kind of what we're used to. But again, World War II in space. God damn it. Fucking Star Wars.
Exactly. You know, World War II in space, speaking of the game that I want, okay? And I've put this appeal out to the hashtag game dev on Twitter, and I'm like, "Please, please somebody make this. I want Silent Service in space. I want it to be
It just makes sense. It
because
just
you
makes
could do
sense.
well, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense because we've talked about how do you hide a ship? What's stealth like, right? And it's tough. So what would you do that is the space equivalent of submerging a submarine? It would have to be a cloak, right? Or you could do some weird kind of Star Trek-y thing where you actually kind of submerge under the fabric of the universe, right? Like a pocket dimension or something where you can't go very fast. And if you go too fast, you kind of leave a wake in space, right? Like a ripple, and the sensors will pick it up, which would also be like if you launch torpedoes, they'll see like a torpedo wake coming or something before the torpedo actually like pops out into real space and hits them. But I was thinking like, okay, the way to do this is to do it anime style, right? Because when it's anime, it's some Star Blazers bullshit, and you can get away with anything because Star Blazers is a fucking battleship in space. Like,
It's
literal
exactly what it is.
battleship in space.
Literal, it's
So,
the Yamato. It is the Yamato.
yeah,
They're
so.
not even mincing words. It's the fucking Yamato. They're not even playing around.
So I say, let's embrace the stupid and actually make a submarine game in space. Don't try to justify shit. Just kind of wave hands a little bit and be like, yeah, whatever. You know,
Well, we should talk
cloaking
about
field
this
or
because.
something. Because, dude, okay, the way that I would do this is, have you played the Silent Hunter games at all?
Silent.
It's World War II submarine, you know, you're Germans or whatever. Okay,
I love the
so,
third one. That might be my favorite.
yeah, so there's a lot of crew management, right? And the ship is very small. And I would think, well, if you're going to have a ship that is either going to be cloaked at great power, because the other part of the trope with submarines is you can only stay down for so long. You have to surface, right? And you get caught when you're surfaced, and you have to like come up to recharge or you know whatever. But you can go a lot faster when you're on the surface too, and you can fire at shit with your deck guns that you can't do when you're underwater. So there's like all these things that would be metaphors to something you do in space, right? That would be a reason, like, you know, we're in some condition where we can't fire guns, but we could surface and fire the guns, but they're not the best guns, right? But if it's a merchant ship or something, yeah, you can just surface and gun the shit out of it because it can't shoot back, right? But stuff like that. But I'm thinking, okay, so it's got to be a small ship, right? So I'm thinking like a World War II sub. It's basically a hallway with bunks and machines and workstations, right? And a torpedo room at the front. and like a conning tower where the captain can be with his maps and his periscope. Because let's say you're cloaked or whatever, it's gonna you don't have sensors either, right? Because cloak, so you can risk sticking a periscope up out of that because they're not gonna spot that. So that gives you your optics, you know, where you can plan your attack. Yeah, I was 20 some hours in the car this weekend. I had a lot of time to think about space submarines, and I kind of overthought the thing. I've kind of got the game half designed right now.
Well, in a couple of weeks, we're doing we're going to talk about capital ships in space games.
Okay, sweet.
And so we can definitely talk more about that topic then.
Yeah, because really, the most cost effective way to smoke capital ships or just merchant shipping really in space would be a small stealth not fighter, it would be like a frigate that was stealthed, because
yeah,
then
have to mask
you could just uncloak and fuck some merchants up and then cloak again and be gone, and you could just take down the shipping lanes, much like World War II, where it was just like, you know, anything getting shipped into Europe was through. So, yeah, it would, you know, wolf pack of the stars, whatever you want to call it. And,
why the fuck not?
And I would say, like, let's do it cel-shaded, right? And I want the periscope view to be, like, as much like a periscope on a ship. Just make it a unashamed, non-apologetic submarine fucking game.
Yeah, why not? why the hell not? I mean, just take a submarine game and put it in space instead of the ocean.
Dude, I even figured out how to do depth charges in space and why.
Oh, we'll save that. Because
okay.
I love it. Let's save that for that topic. But that's in 2 weeks, guys. In a week, it's time, Jim. We've been putting it off.
Oh no!
It's time we
Not
finally do. This is your idea.
It was
this
a bad
is your
idea.
I,
bad.
But. People want it. People have actually asked me if we could talk about Bridge Commander. So that's what we're going to do next week. Folks, we're going to try and get multiplayer going with that. Apparently, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Where even with GameSpy shut off, apparently, there's a way to do it now. So we're going to try that. But so next week,
I would like some of the people who requested us to do it to show up. Because I want to hear what other people have to say about that game. Because I really don't have a wealth of things to say about it.
Well, that's why we got to toy with it over the next week. We got to play it and try it out. And
yeah, I don't know. I always get to the same point. Like the first time you have to fight Cardassians, I'm just like, eh. Kim's got that big booty and
wrong. No, see, the thing is, it's not Gul Dukat. So I mean, why would I want to fight any other Cardassian besides Gul Dukat?
I'd fight Kim Kardashian.
Oh God,
because she's got, you know, whatever.
They need to make that reality show, the Cardassians.
I know, right? Oh God! I mean, and it could really be like Star Trek reality show, Meet the Cardassians.
Because you don't see a lot of Cardassian females. You really don't. I mean, there was Dukat's daughter, and there was that one captain chick in that Next Generation episode, and then there was. God, who's the best Cardassian ever? Who is his name? I can't remember. I'm totally blanking. Right
the Taylor guy?
Yeah, the Taylor.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Garrick.
Garrick.
It was Garrick's not nanny, but I guess that's the closest thing to I could say to it. But Garrick is Garrick's nanny, really. And that's really, you don't see, it's mostly the males, which is like, what? I mean, that would make sense, is to have more Cardassian females. If we ever get another Star Trek show, I want to see more Cardassian females.
Okay.
I actually kind of like that culture. Anyway, rant over.
Yeah, I just didn't feel it for the Kardashians. Cardassians. I can't even say it now.
I know. It's ruined. It's goddamn ruined.
They have to have Bruce Jenner play a Cardassian. In the next Star Trek.
Who's Bruce Jenner?
Well, he's married to Kim Kardashian's mom. Bruce Jenner, the guy from the Wheaties box. You know, like one all.
Oh, the athlete?
Yeah.
Is that the athlete
guy? Totally married to – he's Kim Kardashian's daddy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Stepdaddy, maybe. But, yeah, totally.
I did not know that.
Yep. Oh boy, Bruce Jenner really has fallen.
He's kind of old now, isn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't age well. He kind of looks like an old lesbian now. It's like not good. Well, like if you saw him, you would be like, "Oh yeah, Jim's right." You know, like not putting anything on, you know, old lesbians or anything.
Maybe, but, I don't know. Did he spend a lot of time in the sun, maybe, or something?
I don't know. It was all the Wheaties, I think. Hit him in.
All the Wheaties.
Yeah. It was, I mean, wow. It's, hold on, I gotta get a picture.
Poor Bruce Jenner. But he's pretty old, isn't he? Isn't he like,
yeah, he's pretty old now. But
like I remember when I was a kid and eating Wheaties, he wasn't young. He was very fit, but he wasn't exactly like.
Okay, I'm gonna. Should I send this over Steam?
I can't look right now. Anyway, I'm a little busy shooting droids, dude.
Okay, I was gonna send you this thing because.
Well, you can send it to me later. I'll look at it later.
Okay,
but
I just wanted you to actually see what I'm talking about, because if you just go to images.google.com. and search for Bruce Jenner, and it's like the second picture that comes up, you're like, what? Because, you know, stuff. But anyway, Wheaties.
We've been talking for a while.
We have.
Maybe we should wrap this up.
Because totally
we got a good chunk of topics. We got a good chunk of stuff under our belt tonight.
Yeah.
So folks,
there's a bonus.
There's a bonus.
Yeah, a bonus.
If anyone has
actually listened to the show at this far, I have a copy of Strike Vector that's laying in my Steam account, and nobody wants it.
Strike Vector?
Yeah, that RTS, or not RTS, FPS in jets.
In the air?
Yeah, it's that thing. It's almost like a Robotech thing, right? Because you're flying, and then you can go into, like, hover mode, and own it.
That was... Yeah, I played it once. It wasn't very good.
Right, but I've got it, like an extra copy sitting, and nobody to give it to. So, if anybody actually listens to the show this long, this is how we'll find out. Send an email to unusualpickle@gmail.com, and the subject just Strike Vector, and I will arrange to send it to you.
Oh, well, that's very generous.
I know. It's Bruce generous. Wheaties. Okay.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
And that way we'll know if anybody actually listens to the end of the show or not. So there you go.
Okay, well, folks, that was a fun topic. I enjoyed it. We are 2 days from Thanksgiving here in the U.S. So, to all our American listeners and friends, have a happy, healthy, fun, and full of food, fruitful Thanksgiving.
Foodielicious.
Foodielicious. May you all eat lots of awesome food.
Don't choke on the cranberries.
And be slugs. I don't like cranberry sauce.
I don't so much either. I mean, it's like I used to like them, but then they got that song Zombie, and it was kind of like just too much on the radio.
Oh, jeez.
Like everything else with zombies in it, it just wore thin so quickly. So,
I used to be such a huge fan of that band.
Yeah,
basically until that song. That song kind of ruined
it,
them for
it?
Me.
It was like that. Yeah, it was like Peter Cetera and the Karate Kid song.
Oh,
like,
God!
Just put Chicago instantly. So you know.
Yeah, no, I'm completely there with you. I was a big fan of Chicago, and then Peter Cetera. Like, I hate that song so much. Hate flames. On the side of my face.
Yes. Sweep the leg. All right.
So, folks, thank you for listening. Have a happy, healthy, fun Thanksgiving, and we will see you next week with some Bridge Commander.
Yeah, like the card game, right? They should have a card game called Bridge Commander. It's like the poker game, except it's like Star Trek people sitting around a table playing Bridge. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there.
They did play poker in the actual game.
Did.
So
it should be because you saw the like knight at the armory or whatever the hell they call it that they have on Steam, and it's got like the Team Fortress 2 guys and the Ash,
Oh,
from Evil Dead, Grateful Dead, and Tycho from Penny Arcade sitting around the table playing poker. Yeah,
yeah, that's
but it would be
ridiculous.
Bridge Commander
Right.
in 10 forward. Oh,
So,
well.
folks, as always, if you have a suggestion for a topic or a guest you would like us to cover or bring
Keep
on the
it to
show, hit us up.
yourself, because,
No,
oh.
we actually occur. Oh, ow, I'm getting my butt handed to me in this game. Yeah, hit us up at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the show and have a good one.